For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Continuing in Lech Lecha, we are on Pasuk Daled, chapter 12, verse 4. As I mentioned last week, the purpose of this class is for it to be a more of an in-depth discussion, analyzing every word in the Pasuk and inside going over the major commentaries, mainly Rashi, a little bit of Ramban today, as you'll see. To quickly review, the Parsha opened up. I want to hit one question that we did not address last time. The Parsha opened up with is considered by most commentaries Avram's second of his 10 big tests. And he had more than 10 tests. And that is Lech Lecha, a complete breakaway from his past. And we elaborated on that and to start a new future. The question is, most commentaries agree that the first test was Ur Kasdim, the test of being willing to sacrifice your life for God and not worship idols, to be thrown in the furnace, right? We mentioned last week, Nimrod said worship idols or throw in the furnace. Avram Avinu was willing to give up his life, die al Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of God's name, okay? So the question is, why is that not elaborated here as a first test? And why is Lech Lecha really gone into a lot of detail? So one of the many answers I saw was, the expression is, it's easier to die a Jew than to go on living as a Jew. Okay, Ur Kasdim was a great test. To give up your life for Hashem is a tremendous test. There's no doubt about it. But to go on living, to break away your past, and every day to go on through the trials and tribulations of starting, blazing a new trail, a new path, that's much harder. And that really is how significant all the patriarchs and matriarchs, but especially Avram, is for us, because he's the first. He's the root. He's the seed. And what he does with this Lech Lecha, right, and all his continuing trials, that, as we mentioned so many times, embeds spiritual kaychas, spiritual abilities for us to overcome the same obstacles in the future. So therefore, the first test starts with really a magnification of that whole idea. Okay. Verse 4, chapter 12, verse 4. We'll look inside, we'll read inside. Vayelech Avram Kasher Diber Alav Hashem, and Avram went like Hashem spoke to him. And we mentioned Diber is a harsher language than Vayomer. And as we said last week, that was to say Avram had a greater test, that Hashem said, leave, and I'm going to promise you all these great blessings. So Avram had, that's not why he wanted to do the will of Hashem. He wanted to do it because it was a mitzvah, it was a commandment from you and nothing else. And that's what's emphasized here. Avram went for no other reason but kasher diber alav Hashem, because you said do it, not because of all those promises and blessings I'm going to get as a result of this Lech Lecha. That's not why I want to do it. In fact, that made the test much harder. We elaborated on that last week. Vayelech ito Lot. Lot went with them. Ito, we mentioned, is not like emo. Emo from the word am, nation. Everybody's the same in a nation. Equal. Ito, from the word et, right, is subservient. At this point, Lot understood his status. He understood that he was a Talmud, he was a student, and Avram was a Rebbe. And later, when he gets wealth, he gets out of Egypt, we see that that attitude changes, as we mentioned. Avram was 75 years old when he left Haran. It's very interesting. It's elaborated in detail, I believe by Ramban, that this was not the first time Avram came to Israel. won't come as a big surprise to most of us. That evidently there was two Lech Lechas. There was a Lech Lecha 5 years before this, when Avram was 70 years old. Where do we get that? Well, if you turn to the Bris Ben Abasarim, the covenant of the pieces, the covenant of the parts, right? This is chapter 15, verses 1. It's like 1 through 25. It's a lot of verses here. That's a great trick because there's only 21 verses in the chapter. Okay, but in the middle of all this, if you look at chapter 13, that's the verse we're concerned with. Again, chapter 15, verse 13. Chapter 15, verse 13 in our Parsha. This is the covenant of the parts. It says, Hashem says to Avram, you're going to be a stranger in a land not yours, right? And you're going to be afflicted, you're going to have servitude, and it's going to be for 400 years. So here they start calculating. I think it's Ramban, Nachmanides. So they start calculating 400 years. We know we were in Egypt 210 years. The 400 year counts from the birth of Isaac, right? So basically, this verse tells us 400 years. And then, if I'm not mistaken, can I borrow your, can I borrow your permission? If I'm not mistaken, in Shmos, when Israel leaves Egypt, it says, and the amount of years that Israel was in Egypt and lands that were not theirs, stranger land, 430 years. It says here, 400 years, right? So this 430 years, it's talking about, I believe it's in the Parshas Vayera, I'm not sure, I think it's Parshas Vayera in Exodus, is going on, 430 years is from this covenant of the parts, which was given to Avram when he was 70 years old. The 430 years. I can't go into all the cheshbonos, all the calculation of it, but I'm telling you the sources, if you want to look into it more yourself, because we don't have time to really elaborate on that. Not that it's not important, but there's so many other things. But basically, I'm just showing you the source where they get there is two Lech Lechas. The one that we're concerned with, the one that's a complete breakaway, is here at 75. At 70 years old, Avram went to Israel. He got this prophecy that there'd be a stranger in a land not theirs. Right? That wasn't 7 years old. He went back, and then a complete breakaway at 75. Okay. Moving on. Okay, let's go back. We left off. Chapter 12, verse 5 now. Any questions on that? Excuse me? No? Okay. Vayikach, this class is specially designed to take our time to answer any questions, you know, to really go in depth. So here we are, you know, a lot more laid back. So please ask questions if you have any. Vayikach Avram, verse 5. As Sarai Ishto, Avram took his wife Sarah, as Lot ben Achiv, Lot his nephew. Ves Kol Ruchusham, they took all their belongings, Asher Rachashu. Ves Hanefesh Asher Asu Bacharon. What an interesting language. And they took all the souls that they made in Haran. Okay, now this is a very, very famous Rashi. Right? Let's look at it inside. Here's the Rashi. Asher asu b'charan, then the souls that they made in a charan, shech nisan tachas kanfei shechina. What does it mean, souls that they made? They brought these individuals under the wing. Okay, they brought these people under the wings of the shechina. Okay, here it is. Avraham misgayer es ha'anoshim. Avraham converted the man. He made him into converts. V'sara misgayer es ha'anoshim. And Sarai Menu converted the ladies. U'male akatu kido asu. And they credited him as if they made him. If they, like, gave birth to him, right? And we know a ger is kekatan shenolad dami. A ger is like a newborn entity. A newborn entity. So these were the souls that Abram and Sarah were considered as if they made, right? The ultimate outreach, right? This is, okay? So from here they learn, interesting, that a person who teaches someone Torah, right, is as if he, as if it's their children, their offspring. So, you know, it's one of the greatest things when you leave this world, you know, you're limited in your time here, what you can do, right? So obviously the greatest thing is to have children that you can imbue, you know, mitzvahs and Torah, and they'll go on the next generations, right? And you get credit for all that. You get dividends, right? So what about when one of my Rebbeim, Rav Simcha Wasserman, didn't have any children? So the fact is, as we mentioned in Parshas Noach, that a person's good deeds, his righteousness, is also his offspring. And anybody you influence in life, he doesn't have to be a Rebbe. Anybody influenced, anybody helped, anybody smiled to and encouraged, whatever it was, and they in turn became stronger in Yiddishkeit because of that, and they in turn influenced other people, right? This is all accounted for. This is what's called, by the way, a din v'cheshbon. A din is, you get a din v'cheshbon, you get to Shemayim, to heaven after 120 years. A din is a judgment for your actual deeds, whether they're good or not so good. And then a cheshbon means a calculation. That can be a lot of things. There's certain people, we hope that we didn't influence people the wrong way, right? That's also calculated. But some of that calculation is also people that you influence for the good, right? So that you get credited for. Okay? Like Simcha Wasserman, I was going to mention, he had no children, but he had thousands of students, who in turn had many students. He had one of a great yeshiva. Okay? And there's still yeshiva, Or Elchanan in Eretz Yisrael. So it mentions also here that when you put out a book, that's a tremendous thing. If, you know, you can put out a book on Torah, you know, people learn it throughout all generations, right? So you get a lot of credit for that. But for us, most of us are not going to put out books. If you do, it's great. But, right? And, but for us, you know, just our good deeds, encouraging one another. It's so important not to be wrapped up in yourself. And this, in fact, what makes Abraham the first Jew and not Noah. Noah was a great tzaddik, don't get me wrong. For 120 years, he rebuked his generation to... Okay. But Abraham was the first person to go out and publicize the name of God. We're going to see over and over again, especially in this coming week's Parsha, that he's not satisfied being potter, being an oinus, being like... He's in pain, right? He's in pain 3 days after the Bris Milah. He doesn't have to do the mitzvah of taking in guests, but he wants to, right? That's Abraham. He's never sad. He prays on behalf of the wicked people of Sodom, right? Abraham's a true Eved Hashem, a true servant of God, right? And he's always reaching out, always publicizing the name of God and telling people about God, right? So therefore, anybody today who becomes a convert, right, is really a Ben Avram. You know, that's what they give him a lead. It's a Ben Avram. You know, and if a lady doesn't, you know, many ladies take on the name Sarah Imenu, right? Okay, because that was their whole, that's, in a microcosm, that's the whole tachlis, our whole mission as Israel, to influence people, right? Much more by example than actual going out, but amongst our own people to give encouragement. That's the greatest thing to do, is give people chizik, encouragement. Today, we're so down on ourselves and insecure and so forth. Everybody needs to be encouraged. Everybody needs to realize whatever level they're on, well, that's a step in the right direction, and to keep going with that. Okay, let's move on. Any questions on that? Yes. Right, the pasuk says Noach was a tzaddik. Deraisa, good. Okay, but we have a rule, ein mikra yotze mishuto shel mikra. We don't lose the literal translation of the verse. Literally, I mean, the verse is pretty clear. He's a tzaddik. The guy's a tzaddik. So one commentary says a beautiful thing. It says, it doesn't say that the rabbis, it says, yesh shidorshi mosalatna. There are those that said this wasn't a praise to him. It doesn't say the rabbis, it doesn't say in the commentary say this. He's saying, it's telling you that even here, the first tzaddik mentioned in the Torah, people are going to say, not such a great guy. After all, compared to these guys, he's a tzaddik. Yeah, but if he lived, you know, during my Rebbe's time, he wouldn't have been such a tzaddik, right? And you see through this like as a paradigm throughout all generations, no matter who the tzaddik was, even Moshe Rabbeinu, people would get up, dispute with them, Korach, he's not so great. Yeah, if Hashem spoke to me, I would have done the same thing. So that's one commentary. I say, Noach was a tzaddik. There's no doubt about it. He lived in the generation of Avram, 58 years. Right? But it's just to tell you that even here where it says it, right there in the verse, he's a tzaddik, there's still going to be some people who are going to try to knock him. That's a very, very good question. How can we talk about Miriam? And we mentioned Miriam. Some people say it every day. There's six things you're supposed to remember every day. The wiping out of Amalek that we stood on Mount Sinai. Did the golden calf. That's also Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara of Miriam, right? Shabbos and coming out of Egypt. Why would you sit there and mention about, why would you mention about Moshe Rabbeinu's sin there? Why would you mention Lashon Hara of Miriam and everything? So I saw it by, I mentioned Miriam because I saw it, Rabbi, I think it's what Chaim Shmuel Levi says, that Dafka by Miriam, it's a merit. It's a merit for them. It's a merit for her. Why? Because her Lashon Hara, we can't even find what, like we're going to see pretty soon with Sari, you know, our mother Sara. She's slammed for saying she laughed when she was told she was going to give birth. She laughed. She never even laughed. We'll go into that. It was just like she thought it was like unbelievable, right? But there were such great personalities. Miriam's Lashon Hara was in front of her brother. She meant for his good. In front of him. Lashon Hara used behind someone's back. You know, where's the Lashon Hara? People are so great, and the sin is so severe that we're trying... I haven't forgot that you have a comment. The sin is so severe that we're trying to emphasize that even if you had all the right intentions, even if you're Miriam the Tzedakis, right? Right? Even then, this slight dust of his... It's such a... So critical, Lashon Hara, that you got to be so careful. Learn it out from one of the greatest, Miriam, who meant only for the good of her brother. That's what the commentaries say on there. And therefore, every day when people mention this of one of the six remembrance, remember the Lashon Hara of Miriam. I'm going to stop speaking Lashon Hara because of that incident. I'll remember of Miriam. It becomes a merit for her. All of us stop speaking Lashon Hara, but I remember that incident. Or whatever it is, right? We learned you have to have more emuna, faith in Hashem, for my mother Sarah. For her level, Alavai, we should have her faith in Hashem. But for her level, she's going to be knocked. She didn't have enough faith in Hashem. She laughed. It's hard to understand, okay? Whatever it is. So from that, we learn we're never going to question God's, you know, God's ways. We're not faith, no matter what, how ridiculous something sounds, we'll believe. That becomes a merit. Okay? That's the only reason. If the Torah didn't write it, you'd be 100% right. It'd be Lashon Hara. And that should be a lesson to all of us, not to go around saying, if it's not written in the Torah, don't go around saying, Yaakov swindled his brother. He stole the, you know, the blessings. It's a chutzpah and it's apikorsis, it's heresy. You can't say such a thing. Not one comment, we'll see. We'll see what an act, it says if you find a mitzvah or a sefer Torah in the hands of a Russia, it's a mitzvah to deceive him any way possible, by hook or crook, and get the Torah out of his hands. It's in the hands of an evil person. Right? We're going to see that later. But what you're bringing up is a good point. If it doesn't say it in the Torah in the commentaries, we better not say anything derogatory about our great people. Because we have no conception of what these people are about. It says in the generation of the Gomorrah. The Gomorrah talks about their people, right? A couple thousand years after this. It says, if we're like... If the generation before us was like those great rabbis before us, the generation before us were like men, then we're monkeys. If they are angels, we're merely men. What would we say about us? You know, we're insects. We're these guys, right? Yes. There the ark is built. It took 120 years because that was their last chance to tshuva. Every day this old man was working on the ark. They came up and says, "What's master? What are you doing?" "I'm working on the ark." "You guys better do tshuva. I'm telling you. Change your ways. Do tshuva. Hashem's going to destroy the world of flood." He did that for 120 years. He did do that. So, it's not that easy to knock him. He did rebuke his generation. Evidently, he didn't take enough of an initiative. Now, Susan's going to get mad at me. But evidently, he did take enough of his initiative. Like, Avram didn't have to be told, I guess, with Saddam. I don't know. It's hard. Noach with the tzaddik, that's for sure. But somewhere he was not on the level of Avram Avinu. Okay. Any other questions? Plenty of time. This is what it's all about. Anybody have any questions? Get it out. Okay. We're going to go to a very famous Ramban, Nachmanides, which I've said many times outside, but not inside. We're going to read inside this time. Okay. Verse I'm back in Noah. I've got to get back to Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha, yeah? Okay. Verse. See, all that time you were gone, Renee, we did half a verse. In fact, we got to finish. We got to finish the other half. Right. Verse 5. Let's get to the other half, and then we'll go into the Ramban. Ve'yetzu lelechet aretz haKna'an. This is the end of verse 5. They went out to the land of Canaan. That's Israel, of course. Vayavo aretz haKna'an. And they came to the land. They went to the land of Canaan, and they came to the land of Canaan. New. What's the chiddush here? What's going on? Everybody understand the obvious question here? What's the Torah trying to... this is verse 5. Chapter 12, verse 5. The Torah is very concise in this word. Remember we learned, those of you in the Parsha class, that the Torah went... usually, we darshan the whole thing. The Torah said the animals loy tahora, that were not pure. Right? Instead of saying tameh, which is three letters, the Torah used the extra few letters to teach us to speak in a clean language. The animals, instead of saying impure, the animals that were not pure. Why? Because the rule is the Torah says things in the most concise fashion possible. There's no extra letters. There, the Torah says it was worth it to use a few extra letters to teach this lesson to speak in a clean language. So the question here is, just say that Abraham left with all this stuff, right? And all the people, and they came to the land of Canaan. Why are you telling me they left the land of Canaan and they arrived at the land of Canaan? The Torah is not wasting words, it's teaching us another lesson. Besides all the other mystical implications that I have absolutely no idea what they are, one of the things it's teaching us. Anybody want to take a crack at this? Oh, beautiful. Very nice. Great. Beautiful, Renette. That's very good. If you go. Renee hit it right on the head there. If you go to the end of Parsha Noach, right, look at verse 31, chapter 11, verse 41, excuse me, chapter 11, verse 31. And Terah took Abraham and Lot and Sarah, right? And they left from Ur Kasdim to go to the land of Canaan, but they came to Haran and they stayed there. Right? The idea is, Vaskazak Katong, you know, what you say you should do. You know, many people have grandiose ideas and plans, right? I'm going to do this good deed, I'm going to give this tzedakah, and few of us ever really fulfill what we plan on doing. Here's Terah, right? They plan to go to the land of Israel, right? That's what the Pasuk tells us. They went from Ur Kasdim to Canaan, but they didn't make it. They went to Haran, and they stopped there. Oh, this is good enough. You know, let's go make Aliyah to Israel. You get to Muncie, they'll work. We'll make it work, right? Don't stop in Muncie, Susan.
No way.
Okay. That's it. Okay, so here the praise of Abram is that he didn't let any obstacles stop them, and we already mentioned all the obstacles and this big trial that Lech Lecha was. He went to the land of Israel, he didn't let anything stop him. He came there. He went to the land of Canaan, and he arrived at the land of Canaan. That's a very big thing, because few people carry out to fruition what they plan.
It mentions that they
went over and over again of Abraham, Omer Ma'at Voseh Harbe, says little but does much, right? This Parsha, he tells angels, come, have a little water, have a little bread, it makes them a huge feast. Right? Lord Abraham always, Rivka also, you know, Rivka doesn't say anything, we're going to see in that Parsha, but she does. You know, like, so we see, in general, tzaddikim have this thing of fulfilling what their intentions are and not speaking too much about it. There's a certain thing that once you speak about it, you get it out of your system. If you have that's a good lesson to remember. If you have some good intentions to do, don't speak too much about it. Right? Because it kind of acts like a bribe for the Yetzer Tov, for your good Yetzer. But, your question is valid, and if I see any commentaries, I'll adjust it. But we'll have to say Avraham Avinu was a person of such stature that even without a commandment of Hashem, if he, you know, made up his mind to do something, everything he did was by the word of Hashem, for that matter. In fact, I saw a beautiful commentary. It says that Avram's journeys are parallel to where it says, Al pi Hashem yichanu, v'al pi Hashem yisau. In the Midbar, when the generation, right, that generation was traveling, it said they traveled by the word of God and they encamped by the word of God, right? And this is in the Bahaloscha, right? In Numbers, it said, you know, sometimes they'd be traveling 2 days or a month, and Hashem would say, here, get up and go. And they would do it. Or sometimes they'd only be there 12 hours, and Hashem says, time to get up and go. They did it. Everything they traveled, Al Pi Hashem. It's the same thing with Avram. It might be a Masse Abbas. Avram, everything he did was Al Pi Hashem. But I still like Renee's comment, and we'll have to keep that there in the mind. It's a very good point. Okay, sometimes it's better to leave a good question as a good question than give a shver teretz, to give a bad answer. So we'll leave it as a good question. Here we're going to go to that famous Ramban that we talked about 20 minutes ago. chapter 12, verse 6. Vayavur Avram be'eretz v'aretz ad makom Shechem. Avram came to Shechem. Okay. Ad Alon Moreh, to this place, by Kanani Asbarats, and the Canaanites were there in the land. So why did Avram go to this particular place? Okay. So Rashi mentions here someplace. Oh, here it is. Lispalo al Bnei Yaakov. To pray for the children of Yaakov, who was not born yet. This is his grandson. This will be his great grandchildren. Right? They'll come to have a war in Shechem. Anybody know what we're talking about? I thought you had it. You reeled it in right to the boat, and then you let it go. This is when Dina was kidnapped, to put it mildly. And Reuben, Shimon and Levi came and wiped out the town. So they had a major battle there. There was a major war there. And so it says, had Avram not come to Shechem and offered these prayers up first, as we'll see in all the places, we would not have been successful in the future. Again, this is this idea that we keep repeating, right? Kol mashir al avos happened to the children. Everything happened to the fathers, happened to the children. Masse avos, simon leboni. Here's the Ramban. Let's look at it. Vayavur Avram be'eretz ad makom Shechem. Avram went to the land until the place of Shechem. Oimer lecha klal. I'm telling you a big general rule. Tavin oisel. Understand this. Bechol ha-parshios. Understand this in all these parshas that we're talking about. Right? Abbas be'inyan Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. And all the parshas that we're talking about dealing with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hu inyan gadol. This is a very big subject matter, Hizkiru Rabosenu, that our rabbis mentioned, Bederach Kitzara. And I'm going to mention it very briefly. Va'amru, and they said, Kol Mashira La'avos, Simon Labonim. Everything that happened to the forefathers is a sign to their children. And then he goes on to say, and that's why you see that the Torah goes out of its way to list these, like, little individual happenings, right? Why? And other times you see like great laws of the Torah that are just hinted to, right? But here they go into detail. Okay, because these would seem to be extra things that the Torah did not need to tell us, right? There's no purpose to them. Ain't bayam toelus v'kulam bayim, but all of them are coming lo mod ala asi, to teach us about the future. Okay, Kikasha Yavo Amikra Lanavi Mishloishis Ha'ayvat. When one of these things would happen to a prophet, our three forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Yisboimen Memena, we should think into it. Hadavar Memena Hadavar Nignaz Lavo Lazara, because this thing is hidden, it's going to happen to their children. Everything that happened to them is going to happen to their children. Okay, and he goes on and elaborates on this. He talks about other prophets, Jeremiah, how they would actually do an action, and that would like be an even stronger act of prophecy by actually doing an action, something physical. And then he goes on, and then he starts going into detail. The classic example, he says, is here with this whole incident we're about to go in that we elaborated on last week of going down to Egypt because of a famine, right? Paul being hit by plagues, right? And then chasing us out and giving us a lot of wealth. This all happened to Avram, right? And obviously, this is the Exodus in a microcosm. Okay, that's the famous Ramban. Any questions on that? And that's where we get this idea that we keep harping about. Okay? Yes. Good point. Shechem makom muchan leparnius. It's a place that was like, predestined for bad things. You find certain things, there's an idea of nefesh, makom, and zman, time, place, right? In time and place, and in the soul, there's like a parallel. There's certain days in the Jewish year that are like predestined for bad things to happen to us, right? And we know what those days are, like 3 weeks, right? And we're like, that's like not a good time for us. And there's certain places that ain't great for us either, right? Nacogdoches, Texas is one of those places. Don't ever go there in the fall. No. What is that?
It's so odd, though. Right in the middle of Israel, it's like, not good.
Yeah, that is strange, isn't it? That is strange. But Shechem was where the Malchus of David was divided, the Malchus of Yehuda, the kingdom of Yehuda was split. Then, you know, throughout the kings, we have Israel and Judah, right? Israel and Judah. It was split there. This is the place where that terrible thing happened to Dinah, right? This is a place where Yosef was sold. And that led to the whole thing of us having to come down to Egypt, right? And to this day, you know, not too long ago, we had another murder up there. Yeshiva Bacher was killed by Arabs in Shechem. To this day, it is a very rough, rough place. Well, I don't know what to tell you. But, you know, we don't just, it is part of Israel, you know, we do, you know, we... But, I tell you a place that's even more dangerous than Shechem. That you would think, I'm not talking about physical. That should be a real question. Why do people live in Eilat? Actually, Eilat's not part of Israel. So that's not a good example. But why do people live in Tel Aviv? Okay, that's a lot more dangerous, spiritually. Okay. Okay. Okay, let's move on. Any questions? Okay, verse 7. Vayera Hashem al Avram. Hashem appeared to Avram. Vayomer lazaracha etenes haaretz hazois. I'm going to give your offspring this land. This is a promise that's going to go to each one of the patriarchs individually. You're going to see... Yashikayach. We need to mention that. Very good. Baknani azbaretz. Thank you. And the Canaanites were there in the land. Now, that's going to become very important later because Lot's going to say, you know, when they get back from Egypt and they have all this cattle together and the land can't hold them, he lets his cattle graze on other people's land. That's stealing. That's flat out stealing. Okay? So Lot and the shepherds of Avram are going to argue with him. Shouldn't do that. He says, hey, listen, this is our land. Because I know the prophecy, and here's the prophecy. We just read it, right? That, verse 7, Hashem says to Avram, I'm going to give your children this land. Right? And Avram builds a Mizbeach, right? For Hashem appearing to him. For Hashem appearing to him, not for the promise of the land, which is an interesting side note. Just that you appear to me and talk to me, I'm building a Mizbeach, and thank you. So, Lot's going to say, look, it says, this Pasuk says, I'm going to give your children this land. Avram has no children. It must mean his descendants, right? Who's his next of kin? Me. Right? So it's my land, I can let them graze. No, says the verse before that you caught so nicely, Vahaknani Azba'aretz. It's not ours yet. The Canaanites dwelled in the land there. That is stealing, and that's one of the reasons for that. To slug up Lot, his whole taina that he could graze on other people's lands, thinking that it's already his. Okay? Onward. Verse 8. Chapter 12, verse 8, Sviatek Mishamahara. And they went from there to the mountain, Mekedem, towards the mountain, eastward, Leves El, to the place called Beis El. Okay? Vayet Ahalo, and he planted her tent. Okay, let's stop here in the middle of this verse. And first of all, first question we have is why Beis El? Why did they stop at Beis El? And again, all these travelings are significant. And here, too, something happened in history. One of the things that happened at Beis El, a lot of things happened here, actually. Yaakov in the future is going to have a tremendous prophecy here of the four exiles, right? Also, what's going to happen here at Beis El, Rashi tells us, Vayiven Sham Mizbech, he built an altar, Nisnove. He had a prophecy. Avram had a prophecy, Shatidim Bonav, that in the future his children would have a michshol, they would get tripped up. Al Avon Achan. Right? They'll get tripped up on a sin by a guy named Achan, who died a tzaddik. The Yisblel Sham Aleim. Without going into detail, during the time of Yoshua, when we went in to conquer the land, the first city they battled was Jericho, right? And they conquered Jericho. There was a ban. It was a battle on Shabbos, by the way. There was a ban on taking anything. And this one person of all Israel took some stuff, right? And therefore, the next battle of Ai, we were defeated. 36 people were killed. According to another opinion, one person, I think his name was Yair, who was equivalent to 36 people, half the Sanhedrin, okay, was killed. At any rate, if it wasn't for Avram's prayers here, they said that we would have had no hope. We would have been, like, wiped out. Again, he prayed before the catastrophe happens, saved us many times. So therefore, it's mentioned here. Now, the other thing we should know, as we look at the end of this verse, it says he planted the tent between Beis El, Miyam, Vaha'ai. There's that city Ai. Between these two places where he did it, so it wasn't really Beis El so much, it was that it was close to Ai, and that's where we got defeated in the battle. Vayiven Sham Mizbeach, he built another altar, Lashem, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. So, it says he called on the name of God. Does anybody know what this means? It's going to mention this a few times. Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, Avram called out the name of God. Does anybody know this, what this means? The Gemara, I'm trying to find it, says, don't read it Vayikra, but Vayakri, I think he says. Read it to say, and he calls others to call the name of God. Remember, the Torah is written with no nikudot, no vowels underneath, so that could be read by Yikra or Vayakri. He calls others to call the name of God, right? And this is the famous, right, Medrash where Avram would take people in and make them big suda, big feast and everything, and they would say, you know, thanks a lot. When they finish eating, Avram would say, thank he who said and created the world. And he caught, so that way he caused people to call the name of God by saying brachos, right? So this was, and this, from this verse, from these three words, Vayikra Vashem Hashem, this is what Avram was doing constantly, publicizing the name of God. And this is the, and I hate to say this again, but this is the difference between him and Noah, right? He just went more out of his way in his outreach. He went out, more out of his way on his outreach, right, to publicize that this, that was, that's my job, he felt, you know. That's why he's Av Haman Goyim. He's the father of the whole world, right? That none of this that you see, nature, all this thing, is not by accident. There's a creator behind it, right? And my job and the job of the Jewish people is to publicize that fact that everything you see is from one source, right? And we're going to elaborate more on this, God willing, when we get to Chayisara, the significance of Machpelah, which means double, which is in Hebron, which means join, which is the team of Abraham and Sarah, the spiritual and the materialistic, that we show that they're one world. That place, Machpelah, is the entrance to the next world. And that's the beautiful relationship a husband and wife are supposed to have, right? And we're going to see this over and over again, and that's why those people that were buried there symbolized that more than anybody else. I don't want to give it away, but basically, they join the two worlds, the spiritual, and that's the whole job of Israel, to join the physical world to the spiritual, to show that the physical world, everything is from Hashem, it's from one source, and it's to be used to enhance spirituality, which we said about so much, but it's a beautiful thought. And when we get to Chayisara and we talk about Machpelah, someone will remind me and we'll elaborate more on that. In Hebron, which means to join, the joining of the two worlds. But anyway, this is what Avram was publicizing to the world. Everything is from one sole creator. Okay, any questions here? We're going to try to do two more verses. Yes? When we talk about Yaakov Avinu, there's a whole, it says he was in Beis El, and like they say, the top of the ladder was in the bottom ladder was in Be'er Sheva, the top of the ladder was in Beis El. They said that the Beis Hamikdash, Har Moriah, was uprooted, not Har Moriah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Har Moriah, excuse me. Har Moriah was uprooted and came to Yaakov Avinu, right? And that place, which is where Adam was created from, Hashem created Adam from his hands, and where he offered offerings, and where Hevel and Cain offered their offerings, and where Noah offered his offerings, and where Akedas Yitzchak happened, right? And where that dream happened, right? All these are the place of the Beis Hamikdash. The Kodesh Kodeshim, the Holy of Holies, is where the Evan Hashtia, which is called the foundation stone where the whole world sprang out of. I have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just quoting to you what they say. I don't know what that means, but it's like a very mystical, you know, Zach, obviously. The whole world sprang out. That is the center of the earth.
What
does it have to do with here? Well, it mentions Beis El. I'm sure it has something to do with it. I haven't seen any. I mean, I'm sure it has a lot to do with it, but it mentions Beis El here, which is, according to that commentary, when we talk about Yaakov, that was the same place that Har Moriah was uprooted and brought over here. There's a lot of discussion there, where exactly Yaakov was, and, you know, he had a prophetic dream, so I guess he wasn't any place in this world anyway, so it doesn't really matter, but it might have some significance, yeah, according at least to one commentary there. I mean, as far as being the Har Moriah, that same area and everything. I'll tell you the problem. There's two Beis Els. There's two places named Beis El. And in that part of Vayetzeh, they go into it. Which Beis El is it? Is it the Beis El? You know, so, yeah, there's two Beis Els. Or that he called it Beis El. He called it the house of God. And this is really Yerushalayim. Well, another commentary says it there. Right? It's, well, the house of God, because God appeared to him in a dream. This is very confusing. Everybody confused? Good. Okay. That's our purpose here. If you come in with your head straight, we'll get you out of here with confused as heck. Okay. Another question? Was there two questions? No? Okay. Okay. Aha, lo, it does not say. Okay, back in verse 8, guys. Right? That Avram planted his tent. It does not say he planted his tent, actually. It says in the feminine tense, he planted her tent. And this is a Rashi. Ohala Kasiv, it's written in the feminine tense. Betchila nantes oyel ishto. First he set up the tent of his wife, Vakarkach es shalo. And afterwards, he set up his own tent, and that teaches that you should look out for your wife's needs first, before your own. Isha, there's a halacha, there's a lot of halachas between the man and wife, and one of them is Isha Kigufo, that a wife is, you should consider like your own, part of your own body. And part of this means to take care of her needs first. Now, that means, because literally that's the way it originally was with Adam and Chava, right? They were like one entity. You know that, don't you? When it says that Kodesh Baruch Hu created Chava, Eve, right, it doesn't mean, it could mean took a rib, it could mean, I shouldn't dismiss that, but that's one of the commentaries. It could mean a whole side of him, that there was a, you know, the first two-faced person. Okay, a whole side of him. It could mean a rib. But anyways, it was an actual part of them. Is it true anatomically? Anatomically? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Glad you're here. Mm-hmm. That a female has one less rib than a male? Is that true? I mean, excuse me. Thank you. Is that true?
I don't know.
It's not true. Okay, forget that.
Rewind that. That was a falsehood. Okay, we'll be back with Mythology 101 at a later time. Okay, that's not true. I heard that. I didn't see it in the commentaries. Wipe that out.
I hate these
things that you hear and you take it as a given, like the fruit that they ate from. Was one of four fruit. It was not an apple. Wasn't an apple. Okay. One more verse. Vayisa Avram halo v'nasa negba. Avram went, and he continued to go, hanegba, and this word is used in the Torah all the time to mean, go south, young man. Go south. Okay? And Avram continually went in that direction. We'll do a final Rashi here. If I can find it. Just a second. Oh, it's the next page. Here we go. Okay, it says, for periods of time, Avram would dwell here for a month, he would dwell there, and then he would travel, and all his travelings were to the desert, which is the south of Israel. Okay? And that's where Yerushalayim was. Yerushalayim, haya emsa oilam, that is the center of the world. Right? So that, it seems like from here, that they say that Avram, even though Hashem didn't tell him where to go, he had, spiritual people have an intrinsic connection to spirituality. So Avram was drawn towards Yerushalayim. He sensed the high spiritual nature of the place. So all of his travelings, his feet just kind of took him there. Now we're going to see this idea a lot, that Avram Avinu's limbs are in tune to do the will of God. You know, keep that in mind. We're going to have certain questions, how he could leave Hashem in this week's Parsha, talking to him to take care of guests, right? And again, his feet got up and ran. They sensed, this is the will of God, over and over we're going to see this, that he was in tune to the will of Hashem, he was in tune to spirituality, right? A person's in tune to what he wants to be, right? Somehow he knows when. You know, the whole schedule of when the Dallas Cowboys are playing at what time. You're like, you know it because that's what's important to him, right? Right? So a person in tune to spirituality, right? Okay, a person's in tune to spirituality senses those places that are more spiritual. Avram sent Yerushalayim to the center of the world, the most spiritual place in the world, and all his travelings led him in that direction. Avram sent Yerushalayim to the center of the world, the most spiritual place in the world, and all his travelings led him in that direction. Okay, we'll stop here. This is verse, we'll pick it up, God willing, next week, chapter 12, verse 10.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.